You're listening to Transponder, a podcast about two transitioning adults after 2 years of transition, and they talk about transition and other people's transitions. Cool. Alright, okay, alright, here we go. Harley, I'm Regina, stealing hearts like a criminal. Super sexy transitors.
They're really smart and strong, they've got an audio blog.
Thank God the theme song isn't that long.
Go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina, go, go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina, go, go.
Welcome to Transponder, episode 74.
You can find us on the web at www.trans-ponder.com. This is Mila.
And this is Jaina.
Oh, that was a big yawn because Brenda made us stay up late.
Yeah, thanks, Brenda.
Yeah, because we were all, chatting with her on the phone and like, talking about Vegas, baby. Vegas.
Yes, we are on our way to Vegas to the podcasting expo. We leave tomorrow. So probably by the time you're listening to this, we are gone.
Yep.
And away.
Bye-bye. We are in Vegas. And you know what they say, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Yeah, somebody posted on the, on one of our groups or the forums or whatever that, there's some sort of law that says that we can't talk about what goes on in Vegas.
There's trans exclusion, so.
Oh, okay.
It's cool. It's all cool.
So one instance in which trans exclusions actually benefit us, we cannot partake in the law. We have to talk about what happens.
So last episode, we talked about being a trans ally.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a voicemail comment from Marina. So I'm going to go ahead and play those.
Hi guys, this is the third time I've tried this. I'm somehow retarded. I cannot record a message to save my life. But I was talking about being a trans ally in conversations with other people. And I think that's like the strongest you can be because, in friend situations where you have people who are ignorant of it, of trans people or who are, maybe just don't know, you can talk about it. And I've had people come up to me specifically and ask me questions because they know I'll probably know the answer or be able to say something about it. And I think it's sort of like a line because on the one hand, people will ask me stuff about phalloplasty. On the other hand, I can say stuff about how, this is, I had my own little,
bleep.
Like, phalloplasty is sensationalist, but all the other crap I say in that conversation is educational and tells people about, the need for equality, even if you don't, you aren't trans, even if you don't, know somebody who's trans, we need to live in the type of blah, 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 and add all that in there. And if they get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't. I'm not, I'm not in charge of people's minds, but also I find a lot of times the difficulty for me in being a trans ally is at the workplace because, and not in, official meetings or anything like that because, in official meetings, I feel like the official bottom line of my company is to be looking good. And so trans, non-bigoted companies look really good. So it's okay to defend trans people in official stuff. But at the lunchroom, you have the guy that wants to make the tranny joke, that wants to make the guy in a dress joke, and it's hard because this isn't really your friend. You can't really say the truth to this man. He's just a guy that eats near you. And so it's like, usually I make my own joke, which is what's wrong with X? Because they'll make a joke about how trannies do X, and you say, what's wrong with X? I'm sitting here in my skirt, in my work attire. What's wrong with wearing a skirt? And you look at him, and he goes, well, And, you know, what's wrong with being pregnant? What's wrong with using the ladies' room? And whatever it is, it's because he doesn't, he can't stay. It's, I think it's funny because I use my own woman, my, you know, my appearance as a woman, my biological cisgenderedness to impress upon him that if he says there's something wrong with doing girly things, hi, it's me again. There's no way I'm going to be able to get all that crap into one message. I tried. I can't. I'm sorry. And this will be hopefully very short. But, yeah, when you point out, you know, what's wrong with wearing a dress, Bob, it really is like, because here I am sitting in my dress. You know, here I am being a girl in a workplace being accepted by you because you have to, because if you don't, you are misogynistic.
Bleep.
And it's like, oh.
Bleep.
You know, like, and it sort of, like, brings it up, like, trans people have rights just like I have rights, buddy. And if you are, if you're
sleeping
with my friend, you know, it's like, there are some people who choose to wear dresses to work. I am one of them. What do you have to say about that? And sort of make that clear, like, and not, I try not to be confrontational. I try to make it a joke thing, like, hey, what's wrong with wearing a dress, buddy? Like, hey, I'm in a dress. And I think that I can do that because, like I said, I am a cisgendered woman, and it's totally okay for me to use the ladies' room. It's totally okay for me to turn up pregnant somewhere. It's totally okay for me to, you know, wear a dress. And just making that joke back. I don't know. That's what I've done. And it seems to have worked a little bit, although I think that guy thinks I'm a little bit uppity, although I really don't care. And also the truth is, I am not busy. I want my lights, and I want them now. All right, bye.
All right, thanks, Marina. Yes, totally. You know, in a way, those misogynistic comments are usually coming from men, but you hear them from women, too. You know about a trans person. People live in very narrow boxes.
Yeah, you know, and way to get uppity. That's awesome.
Uppity is cool.
Uppity, uppity, uppity. I support anyone who wants to get uppity in favor of trans people. I'm down with uppity.
Yeah, you know, people like to mock what they don't have any personal connection to.
Yeah, and you know it's really tough, too, when you're in that situation where you are educated and somebody is making jokes about trans people or a man in a dress or pregnant trans male
or the disabled or whatever.
Yeah, and so standing up for somebody when you're not part of that group is really a benefit because it shows people that, A, you're an upstanding person, and B, you're an educated person, and C, that you are willing to stand up for those that do not have a voice in the conversation. So,
and D, they should shut up because they're really just a turd.
Yeah, they're the ones that should be ashamed of themselves for making the comment or the joke in the first place.
You know, from personal experience, these are the same type of people who often tell you how open-minded they are.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really open-minded.
I'm a total liberal. I just hate all of those wackos.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, excuse me.
We're actually talking today about combating transphobia in the gay community.
Yeah.
That came up today.
Well, today was a pretty important day, right?
Today was a very important day.
We did something very special today that involved bagels and coffee.
Yes, we, with a bunch of other people, some from Mila's work, some from the local community, we went and talked to our senator, or congressman.
Yeah, we actually...
California 7th District.
Spoke to a very influential person, and this was really an incredible day for at least local trans people, because we got an opportunity to speak with someone who directly has influence within Congress and can dramatically affect our lives when it comes to certain legislation.
Yes, and I was chosen to be the very first presenter.
Yeah. So, very first constituent.
And I told them I was a constituent and that I'm a 3D artist and computer animator. provider for a 7-year-old child.
And then you actually pointed to your 7-year-old child because your 7-year-old child was in the room.
Right. My stepson actually had, what do they call it?
Orientation for school.
Orientation, yeah, for high school.
So he was unable to watch the youngest.
And I told him I have successfully worked in my industry for 8 years and transitioned male to female while working for my last employer, a video game developer. And I informed him that upon coming out at work, I was demoted, cut out of the development process, endured shunning and hostile behavior. My personal information was distributed to the local community, putting me at risk of harm and violating my medical privacy. I was also accused of incompetence regarding decisions I wasn't a part of. And when a male coworker owned up to it, I was told it was dropped after me having been basically yelled at over and over repeatedly. He was told, oh, it's all in the past. Let's just move on. I said, before all this, my reviews were good, and I was considered an asset to the company I worked for. And I told him I'm currently dealing with the challenge of having a long list of video game and film credits in my former name, leaving me open to subtle discrimination by employers when the information reveals my transgender status. I told him I completed my MFA in computer animation, and I'd like to teach.
I do have to say that Gina was quite a good opener for our little group of people, and I really enjoyed...
I was told I did well.
Yeah, hearing the stories that were told. And you could actually see the reaction of the congressman when people told particularly influential stories. Yeah.
Yeah, he seemed a little disgusted by some of that treatment I had to endure.
Yeah.
I saw his face and he's like,
I think it was a big eye opener.
He didn't like hearing that. He's on the labor committee. Mm.
Yeah, and this is the stuff that, you know, that employment non-discrimination is supposed to address.
Right.
But since we were specifically cut from the legislation, it's
And Congressman
tough.
Miller, I thought, was very nice, very personal, and very attentive.
Yes. That is the congressman's name.
Yes. And seemed to absolutely adore my son, who is adorable.
Yeah. He said,
and very well behaved.
You're breaking my heart.
You're breaking an old man's heart.
Yeah. He was asking about, like, what video games are you playing or listening to on your iPod or whatever.
Right.
See, right then, it would have been perfect if there had been the statement, oh, listening to Transponder on iTunes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's stuff I hadn't really talked about before. I mentioned some stuff that way back in episode 20.
So, yeah.
Stuff that was going on at work, and then it kind of, you didn't hear anything more. And this was because I had complained about a coworker, and already I'd been kind of shut out of the development process and kind of moved aside.
Mm-hmm.
And a new program came in, and I kind of complained. Nothing happened. Nothing ever happened. Finally, I talked about it on episode 20.
Yeah.
And some 6 weeks after it aired, I was told, oh, well, you know, I'm looking into your claims, but this episode you put up, yeah, you can't really say that because that's retaliation.
Now, mind you, retaliation is a term that refers to employers who are retaliating against employees, not the
other way around. It's not the other way around.
And things that are said in your personal life, unless they are considered libel, libel being something that, you know, equates to slandering someone's name, you know, using specific details that would address who this person was.
Yeah, when I talked to a lawyer about it, they scoffed and said, oh, wait, so you're retaliating by saying behavior he actually is doing?
Yeah, it's not libel if it's true. That's the thing about libel.
It's like, you know, I've heard, like, misogynistic comments from this person. I heard, like, gay jokes from this person, like, talking about our publisher. Like, how they're, like, on Castro Street probably doing each other in the anus. I was like, no, It's not all in my head. But, yeah. You know.
And that could be considered sexual harassment.
Thanks for taking the side of your golf buddy.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about stuff that could be considered in a sexual harassment suit. You know, maybe the individual instances weren't bad enough to bring a suit, but when taken as a whole, you know.
Well, you look at that and the demotion and the being alienated. This is something we see over and over. Covert discrimination.
Subtle. Very subtle.
Because overt discrimination, you know, just firing you. So they try and make you miserable enough where you have to leave.
Yeah, you know,
were doing a good job.
Not many people do overt discrimination anymore, although there apparently are still employers that think it's totally okay for them to do that.
Yeah.
And they don't really understand why the lawsuit's being brought against them and why they lost $180,000, whatever, $200 million or whatever. Yeah. Because they fired somebody because they're gay or they cut their hair short or whatever in a state that happens to have protections.
Well, the big one was when my personal information, it actually got to my ex. My ex mentioned that she was going to see her ex for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, where does your ex work? And my ex said where I worked. And the first person this person says is, oh, did you hear about that man who's becoming a woman?
Right, like, oh, that's that gossip, right?
Right. It turns out one of the bosses and his wife, who was also an agent of the company, were going around blabbing my personal information.
Mm-hmm.
So, if anyone knows the pattern of violence against trans people, them telling exactly where I worked and knowing where I worked
endangers your
life. Put me at huge risk.
Yeah.
I mean, it bothered me so much. I mean, you know, we talk openly about our trans status, but we weren't saying where we lived.
Yeah, you know, it's something that just for our own personal protection, we don't, you know, we try not to give out our really personal details to somebody who could just randomly look us up.
Right. And, not to mention the HIPAA violation here. This is my personal medical information. New employees are not even to be told.
Yeah.
They are violating unless they have my permission.
There needs to be written permission.
They need consent.
Yeah.
Like, and hey, we have a new employee starting. We'd like to inform them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not taken unawares.
Yeah.
No, that never happened either.
And, you know, the thing is that if it weren't a... if it weren't an employer, if it were an employee that were doing it. So there's this like kind of fine line in between like employer and employee.
Right.
So an employer is bound by that confidentiality, right? An employee it's more along the lines of harassment, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, we should really bring a lawyer on at some point to talk about.
That'd be a good idea before we, you know.
Get too deep into it.
Too deep into the legal aspect of it. And, yeah, you know, it was interesting because I complained about it and was told, well, too bad you didn't state your preference. And I was like, well, I was initially told, you're right, this is your personal information. Then later on, after I pressed the matter, after not hearing anything, I was like, oh, well, you didn't state your preference. I talked to them and they don't remember. So I gave them, like, name, location, and the relationship between the person, and there was, like, silence. Okay, and so to make matters worse, while we're exchanging emails about this issue, you know, and, you know, they're getting pretty heated, he decides in a separate thread, just while this is going on, I mean, it's going on like, you know, email minute by minute, you know, I send an email, he sends an email, I send him an email, he sends an email. We're not even talking on the phone. He goes, this is the follow up. We discussed, the episode in which you discussed and accused an employee of discriminatory behavior. Have you removed this from distribution on the internet? I'm like, you know, you can't take that as anything but a veiled threat. Plus, suddenly, I think he wanted an email trail. He wanted it, you know, I'm holding this over your head, shut up, and drop it. And he's, you know, he's wanting some sort of trail for this. And, you know, which, you know, you've got no control over my media. So, you know, back the F off. I had every right to put it up in the first place. And I have every right to put it back up in the first, you know, in the second place. The only reason I took it down was to kind of try and preserve that kind of work harmony, which apparently was, you know, a wasted effort. So at this point, you know, it's a pretty bad situation all around. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, by this time, you know, we had a lawyer involved.
Yeah. And
it's like, well, actually several.
Yeah.
And through several different organizations. And it's like, you know, you start telling them about that, what that point, and they're like, you can hear like the sucking air through the teeth, like.
Yeah, because it's serious. I mean, yeah. Like, especially in California when you have non-discrimination policies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in California, this is not Podunkville, you know, Texas or something like that. You know, right. this is California. We have protections.
Yeah.
And you can't just discriminate because of something like that.
Mila knows they were just making my life miserable.
Yeah.
Blaming me for decisions made when I was like when I went away on FFS even. So. And, like, when someone fessed up that it was theirs, it's like, oh, okay, don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know, the pattern that I noticed was this, like, we're going to give you a written notice of a violation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to apologize for giving that notice verbally.
Yeah, they don't want a paper trail or email trail or anything like that. So.
Yeah, there's a ton of paperwork trail of you getting written up for things, but no trail of them apologizing for writing you up.
Right. I'm sure you probably hear a lot of this stuff that's, you know, all the time. You probably hear every story in there, and this kind of stuff happens all the time, I'm sure.
You know, just through our listeners.
Yeah.
We hear.
Yeah.
And we won't reveal any of, like, the details without asking somebody's permission first, but we hear some really, really terrible.
Yeah.
Instances of employers doing,
you know, it's
nasty
weird
stuff.
How small the community we live in it is. They knew I was unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care. Like, I found out from my realtor that he mentioned I had talked about selling the house, and he goes, "Oh yeah, I know. Well, I know Jane is not really happy," and he just kind of shied away from the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't want to bring it up. You know, he didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had actually went to a conference on my own money to try and solve some of the problems from some of the decisions they made, and I was still yelled at for it.
I remember that. I remember that you took, you know, you took this time to go
like
down.
I spent like $200.
Right. You spent money on gas to go down there and you.
Buying a pass, which was like, right, $150 or something like that.
Because your work wouldn't pay for it. And
right. Well, they had passes, but no, they're all being utilized.
Right. And then you went just down there to talk to somebody about the motion capture stuff. And, you know, it's
right.
Like.
Without having an appointment, you know, or anything. But.
Right.
You know.
And you got some useful information out of it.
A little bit.
You know?
Not as much as I'd hoped, but right, I didn't get the magic pill or anything, but, you know.
Yeah.
It gave me a time frame for what it was going to take to get everything fixed.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That's kind of one thing I know about my industry, though, is, I would say it's very white male.
Mm-hmm.
And not real good on diversity. So that whole thing, you know, the... oh yeah, we're so liberal, we're so tolerant. For most of them, you know, that's what they give lip service to. They don't practice it. I had a few allies there though that mm-hmm. were pretty awesome and probably, you know.
Well, you know. Even interestingly enough, the person that originally was kind of putting you in that bad situation, you know, say making the comments and stuff like that, ended up being an ally for you in the end, you know, defending you to, your boss over the issues of, like, you getting accused of making decisions that weren't even yours. You know, so at least this person was willing to stand up and say, hey, wait a second, you know, that you know, this has nothing to do with it, that person.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's considered that person in the ally camp.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, there's a couple allies and...
Yeah.
A few that just seem to not really have my best interest at heart. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I was definitely... When the quote marks layoffs came... Well, essentially, you know, I got cut from the project... And I think it was so the new programmer wouldn't have to work with me, because I think he had issue.
You know, what I find very interesting about the layoffs is that here you have a situation in which you are laid off because you're the lowest person in the artist totem pole, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, well, because you're the lowest person in the artist totem pole, we can get rid of you, right? But the reason why you're the lowest person in the artist totem pole is because you were demoted without cause.
Right.
So if you hadn't been demoted without cause, then you wouldn't have been able to been laid off because they wouldn't have had the excuse to lay you off.
Well, here's the thing is I got most everything figured out. And then so they had me, you know, off the main project, which was still being finished up. And then they had me get the other person up to speed and then let me go.
Right, because of course they don't want to let you go until you've revealed that information to the other person because... Right. It would cost too much. You know, it took a good month to get trained on that software.
It took a couple months. It's pretty, yeah. It was a pretty steep learning curve.
Finally
after, you know, pushing the confidentiality thing, they finally reneged on it. I guess they finally decided to talk to HR or got in touch with their HR person, who we never had direct contact with his employees. Always had to go through our boss, our big boss.
Which is never good.
No, that's... You know, that's already a bit suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So, weeks later, I mean, I thought, you know, he was just basically not budging because he wasn't answering my emails on it. He finally goes, well, I discussed it and decided this would be in everyone's best interest to release a short policy telling everyone to respect each other's privacy.
Right.
It was like, no apology. You know, we're sorry this happened. Nothing. You know, it's like saying... Well, I guess we're wrong, but we're really not going to own up to it.
Right. Well, it's basically saying, well, we're just going to implement a policy here without admitting any fault because we don't want to get sued over it.
It's like a do-over.
Yeah.
That way, we've already kind of screwed you over, but you can't screw us over back. Yeah.
Awful.
So, you know, I would have thought, you know, 4 months would leave me less bitter. And, no, not really.
You know, it's still hard. It's weird because I forget about it on a daily basis.
Yeah. I remember, leaving. I was, like, actually relieved.
Yeah, it was a big weight off
your
shoulders.
You know, I was, like, not sleeping. It was, mm-hmm. There was, like, stuff we just could not talk about. It was... Yeah.
It was a very emotional time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate having our speech restricted about our personal lives.
Yeah, and it kind of came across that way. You know, they didn't directly tell me to take the podcast down, but I could tell that's what they were angling for.
Right. Statements were made that basically said, well, if you don't take it down, then it could be endangering your job.
Right. There was a threat there. Well, this is retaliation, which, you know, we, you know, shortly found out later on that it's, you know, BS, but...
Yeah, you know, here's the deal about, like, private life versus work life. When you're on your private time, the things that you do, unless they come into direct conflict with your work, right?
Mm.
So if I work for the whaling industry, and on my time off, I protest the whaling industry, then that could be considered a direct conflict, and I could, you know, in effect... be laid off for it because I'm protesting my own company, right?
The only thing I was protesting was the bad treatment I was getting.
Right. If it doesn't have anything to do with, if it's not a direct conflict with your actual work, then it's your private life, right? They can't go snooping into your private life and start dictating how you're going to act. You know, what are they going to do next? Tell you who you have to vote for if you want to keep your job? You know? Oh, if you want to stay here, you're going to have to become a Bushy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
no, they can't have influence over your personal life. And
well, once my big ally left, I like thought, oh, there's no way I can stay. Then I thought, well, you know, I guess I'm going to try and stay and just see how it goes. And then that release, my information came out. I was like, ugh.
Well, I remember that every time you thought that you were there, you thought that, like, this is it. You know, it's okay. Things are getting better. Something else happened.
Yeah.
And I'd remember those moments where you would go to work and you'd be like, okay, I think I can actually make it through today. Things will be fine. And then you would call me up in the middle of the day and be like, you will not believe what happened.
Uh-huh.
It's like just over and over and over again. It's just time after time. You know, accusations and, you know, oh, you must be incompetent, blah, blah, blah. You know, what have you... You know, the micromanagement, this is the other thing that like, is really... a sign of discrimination is when your boss really starts to get into your face about, like, what are you doing with every second of your day? When up until then you haven't had any real direct supervision. It's just been kind of like, here's the job, do it. And right. You get it done and it's all good. And then your boss starts going, well, what exactly were you doing between 1 and 2? You know, oh, well, you can't leave at 4:55. You have to stay here till 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these little tiny things that are like...
I'd kind of like, you know, just so it would match up with your... You know, when you had to leave work, I would not take lunch or take, like, use my break for my lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I thought, oh, well, you know, they're going to just take the employee handbook and, you know, use it to write me up or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, you worked more than your share there. And they were, like, analyzing every second that you were in the office. You know, what are we paying you for?
And it didn't get that way until...
Right, but they didn't do that to anybody else.
Until after we got back from surgeries.
Right, they didn't do that to anybody else. You know, other people could take 2-hour lunches or, you know, leave early or take days off right. or whatever.
Yeah, I'd take, like, a regular lunch a week, and then...
Mm-hmm. Because then there would be questions about, you know, what were you doing on your lunch break? You know, it's like... It's in the
well, I don't know if this is weird coincidence or what. It'd be like, oh, I came over at such and such time, and you weren't there. It's like, I took a lunch.
Yeah.
It's usually, like, on a Tuesday. That's usually the day I'd take.
Interestingly enough, I'm not sure if... like, this has anything to do with like, discrimination or not, but the job that I transitioned at, I noticed that after I transitioned, that exact same thing was happening where, like, I was always allowed to take my breaks whenever I wanted to,
mm-hmm.
you know? And one day I took a break, and I told my coworker where I was going, and I was literally 10 feet from my desk. You know, I was in this little break room, which is, like, 10 feet from my desk, and I was just, like, sitting there listening to my iPod and, you know, having some food, right? And I get back to my desk, and there's a note on my desk saying, you know, see the manager immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in there and talk to my manager, and they're like, you have to notify the management whenever you leave your desk. And it was like, what? I was in the break room, you know? Like, I wasn't even that far away.
Right.
They're like, well, no, we couldn't find you, right? Because we didn't look in the break room, which is 10 feet from my desk. Like, literally, you know, I could take a, you know, tape measure. It was insane.
It reminded me of, like, above the line, below the line, except I was the only person below the line.
Yeah. You know, and I think some of that might come from that whole phenomenon that we talked about of, you know, when someone transitions from male to female, that kind of loss of male privilege, and people were starting to wonder, like, how did you ever get this job in the first place?
Like, yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I don't put it... I really don't attribute any psychological phenomenon to them. I think overall, it just turns out that most of them were not good people.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is unfortunate because I had a lot of respect for these people. I mean, I helped start the company with them originally. I worked for about over three months, I think, with no pay when we first got the company started. So,
right.
Yeah, it was. I came back after the company, you know, had need because I wanted to. And
I'm thinking there were some questionable employment practices going on too. Off the top of my head, but I just really felt that there were certain things that were not being done in a business-like manner.
Yeah. I trust your judgment on that because I know you're really good at doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of my job right now is dealing with
business aspects
seeing how I handle it versus how they handle it, and it's like it just makes me wonder like what exactly they were doing.
Yeah, I don't think you're the first to make that judgment, so you know this hat thing was there was still a few people there. Well, there was still at least, one person there that I like.
Yeah.
And, one, I think, had had enough and he left, so. Mm-hmm. But he was awesome.
Yeah.
It still is.
It happens.
But, anyways, that's kind of all in the sort of past. And, it was good to actually talk about it and discuss my story today.
Yeah, and talking about it to somebody that matters.
Yeah. Talking to someone considered like the third most powerful congressman.
Yeah.
He absolutely adored my son too. That was great. My son's awesome. So my son is like a really well behaved kid.
It's a personal connection too. I mean, this is something that it makes the day memorable for everyone, including, the congressman and everything. It's like,
yeah.
And, when the young one grows up, he'll remember that day.
That's right. We had a photo op and everything.
Yeah. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. So, hey, don't we have another voicemail?
We do. We have one more voicemail.
So, just to warn our listeners, there's an awful lot of bleeps in this next section.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Let's see if we can be able to get your heads in the door, transponder chicks. We're the only transponder podcast featured in iTunes. Training Wreck, Personal Journals, look for it in the feature section. Maybe not on the top 10, but she's in there. God, oh, my God. I used to be on there, on the top 10 for years, and I think they took me on, I don't know, probably because of the fag thing. I don't know, but I can't be found anymore. But, oh, my God, you...
Bleep.
Stop.
Bleep.
Stop on that one.
Bleep.
Stop.
Bleep.
On it. Okay, thought I just have to tell you I love you. I'll see you soon. Bye.
That was from Zillafag, from the Zillafag podcast.
Bleep.
The bleep. Bleep. Zilla bleep.
Zilla bleep, yeah.
Podcast. So, wow. Yeah, just like HRC, huh? Just can't let those trannies get a big head. Got to put them in their place.
I know.
Yeah.
We tried
checking out all those places, and I'm sorry, but we just found our podcast everywhere.
Well, like, look, Personal Journals, there's Transponder.
It's funny. I got this email right about the same time.
Uh-huh.
It says, Dear Transponder, your podcast is the greatest, better than every other podcast ever, especially in the LGBT section. Your loyal listener, Jaina. I mean, someone else. So, there you have it.
Yep. See, number one, transponder number one. No, we didn't bleep up. I think the proper term is frack. We didn't frack.
We are very much looking forward to seeing Zillafag.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
And Rebecca Nay and some of the other awesome people who we probably don't listen to their podcast, but would like to meet anyways, because we probably would if we knew them.
Absolutely.
And there's just so many podcasts, so Yeah. We'll be introduced to new podcasts probably that we never even heard of, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I heard about this one called, there's this one called Training Wreck Radio. Have you even heard of that?
No.
No, but, you know, I heard they're gonna, their representative might actually be at the Portable New Media Expo.
I heard they used to be, like, on personal journals. No, the feature, I think, is actually arbitrarily chosen.
Yeah, the feature has nothing to do with the actual popularity of the cast.
But it's still cool when you see your thing up there.
Yeah, it has to do with somebody at iTunes listened to your show and liked it and stuck it up there. So.
Well, that's good. Thank you, person from iTunes. You're awesome.
Random person from iTunes who may or may not actually even listen to the show anymore.
But right.
While they had that 30 seconds of decision-making power, they clicked us.
Right.
So,
and they just forgot we're up there. They forgot to cycle us off. Yep. If so, that's awesome.
Yeah, being forgotten about while being featured. Awesome.
But, yeah, the podcast is doing really good. I think we had our best month, which was, we weren't expecting that for a summer month.
You know, I think I attribute a lot of it to two things. One, we passed out buttons at Trans March, which I think...
Merchandising!
Free buttons. Awesome. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And second, I have to say that the freaknetwork.com has definitely been a boon.
Because the Freak Network is just really awesome. And
there's a lot of really cool shows on there. You know, it's interesting. I subscribe to the feed now. And I'd say that there's some stuff that I normally would not have listened to that I now just kind of peruse because it's on the feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really enjoyed some of the stuff that's on there.
So you've been open to new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I have been. It's broadened my existence. And, you know, it's interesting because it's a lot of people that identify outside of the normal mainstream, you know, giving reference to that, that word that many of us find.
And Pizza Babe actually left a comment on, episode 70.
Really?
She said, thanks for all the nice words about the Freak Network, ladies. Freak Network is a family. To me, freaks are people with passions who do follow their dreams, and the word is beautiful.
Aww.
I started to show people how much they really do have in common with others, no matter their background or what society labeled them as. It became a family, and it's amazing. Wonderful listening to you all.
Awesome. I like Pizza Babe.
It's really cool.
Pizza Babe's one of those shows... she's got one of those shows that, like, it kind of grows on you as you listen to it, which I think a lot of, like, the personal journals do, is that the more you get to know the people who are involved, the more they kind of grow on you. And
she's like the queen of podcasts, kind of.
I know. Like, everybody in the entire universe knows who...
She knows, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, everyone knows Pizza Babe. It's kind of weird, like, because I didn't really even know who... Pizza Babe was, you know, when we were...
when Rebecca and I first got, she was like, oh, do you listen to Pizza Babe? And we're like, who?
Who?
Because we didn't, like, know anyone.
Yeah, that's kind of like me and, you know, tattooing the, what is that band? I don't remember.
I don't know, they probably weren't important.
They do that polyamorous song or whatever. Jeez, can't remember their names now. This shows you just how, like, this, how much pop culture that I, you know, because they were from Sacramento, and I was working as a tattoo artist in Sacramento. I won't remember until after the show's over.
So Peter Toscano said, wow, this moved me to tears, to outrage, and to a little bit of hope. Technically, to superb, very This American Life sounding. You got the sound just right. And he says, I love the opening music, hot. That was on 71.
Episode 71. Getting a lot of good feedback on episode 71.
Yes. Episode 71 was pretty awesome.
I think that was one of our most technically intensive shows in that there was over 4 hours of audio
mm-hmm.
that was recorded by our wonderful roving reporter. And, speaking of that, you know...
We have one more voicemail.
Hey, this is Macho Man Randy Savage. I think you forgot a savage. How can you have a savage without me, Macho Man? Snap into an inclusive ender.
Awesome.
Wow, I guess we did forget a savage. And, got some bad news. The Savage Beatdown has been canceled because Michael Savage is not a savage. He's a wiener. It's Michael Wiener. So we'd have to have a wiener fest or something. Not sure how that would work.
It just isn't as cool as a Savage Fest.
Yeah.
Like, Savage Rumble sounds cool. Wiener Fest just doesn't... Sounds like a hot dog.
Sounds a little wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well...
So, I guess that that Michael Savage just wanted to change names to be cooler, right?
Instead of a wiener?
Yeah.
Must have gotten... he's still a big wiener.
Must have gotten made fun of a lot.
So... Karen Savage, Dan Savage, and Macho Man Randy Savage. It's been canceled.
Yeah. But you can still snap into
Michael
an inclusive
Savage
enda.
Right. Is a fraud. Yeah, she should snap into an inclusive enda.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that everyone might be free from overt discrimination and can enjoy the bounties of covert discrimination.
Right. Yep. Just like a Slim Jim, right?
Yeah.
It looks good on the outside, but has no nutritional value.
Did you notice, like, today at the thing, there were several stories about that happening?
Oh, covert discrimination?
Yeah, the covert stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Like, we pass anti-discrimination laws, and all of a sudden, employers get really slick.
Yeah.
So... But the thing is that covert stuff only works as long as everyone involved keeps their mouth shut. And oftentimes people can't.
Yeah.
Which has happened in many of the newspaper cases that we discover, where somebody's just like, well, yeah, I could fire a tranny. It's like, what? you what? Or the people, you know, the... other employees who, like, start screaming at somebody in the bathroom or something like that. You know, those are wonderful stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't have the bathroom issue. It started off, you know, pretty good, actually. I guess one person, you know, kind of... it was mentioned to me, was like, I don't know if I can take this any longer. I think it was the same person who released my confidential information, honestly. But it just sounds kind of like, you know, they're kind of...
style of speech.
Yeah, their kind of catchphrase and what they would often say.
Mm.
But, yeah, bathroom was an issue.
Well, of course, you were working with entirely males.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. But, I mean, I think at first they were, you know, let's stick to the letter of the law, you know.
Well, this is something that we should talk about with discrimination, right? Typically speaking, I don't think that you see... unless you're going to see really blatant discrimination, right, which I think a lot of employers are getting wise to and kind of avoiding the blatant discrimination. Subtle discrimination...
especially big companies, because it just looks bad.
Right. They don't want to... they're going to wait a couple of months before...
small companies are a little less worried about it.
Yeah, so everybody's going to mind their P's and Q's for a couple of months until everyone's kind of relaxed about it, and that's when the discrimination starts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. During that first couple of months, they're like, oh, well, everyone's watching. We're going to be real slick, and we're going to wait 3 months, and then we're going to get rid of this person. We're going to start building a case now so that we can get rid of them later.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other one. That's
well, like, I remember, like, talking to the lawyer, and he goes, this sounds like a really hostile environment.
Yeah.
It's like, I got yelled at for even, like, saying good morning to someone once.
Yeah. You know, that's hostile.
Yeah, that's hostile.
Yeah.
Whether they're yelling at me for my gender identity or not, that's hostile.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hostile work environment.
Right, and that's something that we forget about, too, is that oftentimes, you know, things can be hostile without any relation to gender identity, and that somebody's just being hostile. And it's like, you shouldn't have to work in that environment.
Well, people can be jerks.
Yeah. And unfortunately, regardless, it's not illegal to be an a-hole, right? It is illegal to be bigoted in a workplace, but being an a-hole, you know.
Right.
That's all about company policy and how much they tolerate that kind of treatment.
Well, you know, the gay jokes and stuff. That's
sexual harassment. That's a different realm of things. Because as soon as you bring in,
would it have done me any good to bring it up? No.
And you know that
we saw how good it did. Like it didn't go. Wasn't even until 6 weeks after I had released episode 20 that I even got any confirmation. It was only then because they were worried this sounded bad for the other person.
Yeah, you know, sexual harassment, oftentimes you hear stories of people, and this is just like, when I worked at the warehouse, right? There's talk about how people, especially in like entirely male environments, when there's like a gay joke that's being told, oftentimes if somebody's offended by it, they won't go and talk to anyone because they feel like nothing's going to be done because the employers are like, whatever, can't handle a joke, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like not taken seriously because it's like, well, if you work in this environment, then you should be prepared for that, you know?
Yeah.
Especially like in a warehouse environment. Like when I worked in the warehouse, there were gay jokes all the time, you know, just like crazy gay jokes. And it's like, well, if it made me uncomfortable, you know, repetitive use of like gay slurs and things like that, that can be considered a major violation, you know, especially if it's like, if it's causing somebody distress or,
yeah,
you know, that you got to think that that's something that's a very hostile situation for people, especially if somebody is gay.
I was shocked I even saw like a racial comment once.
Yeah, that is. You don't. Yeah,
not that I necessarily think the person is racist, because I hadn't really seen any demonstration of it. But you know, it's all white people there, so how would you know?
Yeah,
but yeah, I remember being offended by that.
Wow, this is getting this is getting to be a really deep topic.
Yeah. Pretty horrible stuff. But, you know, it was cool. Got it off my chest. And we're going to have fun for the next several days.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas. So we're going to meet up with Brenda.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Fun. And we're also going to hang out with Zilla and Dace
and
whoever else is there from the network.
Dace says you try and talk too much. So.
Oh, okay. You know, isn't it interesting how, like, I think when I started transition, I really took offense to the word tranny.
I don't. Yeah, it's, you know, it's usually, my experience has been used pejoratively by people outside the community.
Yeah.
So, and it took me a while to be okay with it, you know.
You know what really did it for me? What really made it okay for me was British television and British documentaries. You know, where the use of language is different, you know, and tranny is actually just a normal word. You know, it's like they don't use transgender. So it's like, I think transgender is starting to leak into their culture now, but a lot of the British stuff that came over, they used the word tranny as just like the word. That's what you said, right?
Right.
So it became like kind of normal, like normalized, you know, because it's like being used so commonly in speech. It's like, oh, okay, they're just British, right? It'd be like talking about cigarettes in Europe, you know? And they're like, hand me a fag. You know, they're talking about cigarettes. They're not talking about someone who's gay, you know? So it kind of dilutes the impact of the word, I guess. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I guess so. You know.
Just like, you know, transvestite is used in Europe to denote a crossdresser, where they see, like, crossdresser as being a negative term. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, you know, language can be the same but have different meaning depending on who's using it and how they're using it, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We can't be afraid of words.
Unless they're cursed words. That
oh,
can,
yeah. Well, you can be afraid of those
you
words.
Know,
you know,
like
those
something from the Necronomicon?
Yeah. That if you read out loud, it would release, you know, 1,000 years of evil.
Speaking of Necronomicon, because of H.P. Lovecraft, my son started asking about Calpurnia today. He wants to meet her.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. You know, I was thinking,
well, you know, if you were going to meet her, yeah, you should really do it when you're a cute little kid. Because, you know, 9 years old, it's all downhill from there, right?
Yeah, we've only got, you know, about 2 years.
So he's seven now, so he's got about a 2-year window of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about how, like...
Because he thinks she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And he liked watching Transamerican Love Story.
Isn't it cool that he's getting to grow up in a very LGBT-friendly environment?
I think it's good.
I think it's going to be a very positive experience, and that in the future, he may become an ally. You know?
I should hope so.
I loved the question. So, this morning, you know, or was it last night, we were talking about the meeting. And how important the meeting was, and that, you know, that he needed to behave and, like, be good. And mm-hmm. he goes, so this is a meeting for the transgenders? What was it? What do you say? That this person can pass laws so that transgenders don't get killed?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I was like,
so, I mean, even he is, like, aware of the violence.
Yeah, and he understands, like, how important it is for us to get our
stories
out there.
You know, I would like to insulate him from knowing that. So I don't know how he knows.
I don't know. I think it's very obvious in our culture.
Yeah.
And plus, he is constantly exposed.
He's a very smart kid, so.
He's exposed to the community, you know, often. So in a very positive and uplifting manner. I think it's good.
Hey, I think so, too.
I'm starting to get a little sleepy here. Probably from being up too late because of talking to Brenda on the phone.
It's all Brenda's fault.
It's all Brenda's fault. Yep. She probably...
Wait, there's one other thing I want to check out. Not that I'm trying to turn this into We Hate HRC podcast or anything. But this was from Ethan. He said... On August 5th, HRC released a statement concerning the Trans Panic Defense in regards to the murder of Angie Zapata. So apparently, when Angie Zapata was murdered, they released HRC released a
statement.
You know, statement condemning it, and you know the shameful Trans Panic Defense.
Mm-hmm.
It said. What about the heinous and inexcusable actions of HRC? Since March of 2001, when HRC added the word transgender to their mission statement, HRC has supported hate crime legislation which excluded gender identity or expression each and every time the exclusionary piece of legislation was introduced to Congress, during which time there have been 94 murders of transgender people reported in the USA alone.
Wow.
So.
Something to think about.
So what we found, and this is from, he has a little quote here from Chris Daly, who is the former executive director of Transgender Law Center, that says, what we found is the reason why so many transgender women, in particular, are so vulnerable to violence is due to the disenfranchisement that happens around employment, housing, and school. So I thought this was a little bit of applicable to tonight's discussion.
Yeah. Absolutely, because if we're not seen as worth having a job, or worth being educated, or worth having a house, you know, or any of these other things, then what does it matter if we're killed off, right? Society is basically saying, well, you're completely worthless in all these other respects, so what that does is it puts in people's minds that we're completely worthless and that we're not even human.
I'd like to point out that today we had, in our you know, talking about trans issue, we had someone from the LGBT Community Center.
We did, yeah.
There, a gay male, and he spoke just very supportive, eloquent supporter.
Very good speech.
And it was interesting talking to him about our experience at Pride, where we said, you know, the gay white males seem to
be the least accessible.
Least accessible.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he kind of had a little insight on it. He says, you know, it's kind of,
you know, he, being that he is a gay white male.
Yeah, he says, you know, that sense of entitlement.
Yeah, he said I was thinking about it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, I kind of think that's a white male thing.
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily has anything to do with someone being gay.
Yeah.
I think that it's just...
And especially, like, you know, hearing, like, how he, like, seemed, like, kind of, like, upset that that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because that's, you know, being a gay male... You know, of course you're going to be embarrassed, you know, just like we're going to be embarrassed when, a trans woman is, you know, shoplifts or something is busted, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's
like, you know, whenever something reflects badly upon your community, of course it's going to be bad. It's going to make you feel bad.
I think we've actually even said
even that. Though you yourself are not personally associated with that in any way, you know, other than through ties to community.
Right. I mean, that's something that we've talked about when we were doing the Brick Sandwich podcast. And, you know, we would read stories of someone who was arrested for, you know, for theft or stealing a car or something like that. And it's like, please, please don't steal cars if you're trans. Please. We don't, like, need the bad publicity, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, because it's interesting that regardless of whether or not this is something that's a very unique case, it gets used by, like, the really super conservatives to say, oh, well, all transgender people are thieves.
Right.
All transgender people are murderers. All transgender people are whatever, you know?
Well, that's the case, too, is we, like, our gay male friends are white.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not like that.
They're not.
Is that because they know? Like us?
No, but they were like that before.
That's true. They were.
You know, and I really think that it's an education thing. We're talking about...
Is it just because we're drawn to the right circles?
Right. Our friends are highly educated. You know, they are very...
I mean, okay. If you take my work environment that I was in, most of them were highly educated and intelligent.
But are they in a situation where they've been discriminated against?
No.
And, you know, our friends have been discriminated against, so they understand discrimination, you know? Right. It's that whole wound theory thing, right?
Yeah.
That when you have different people who are wounded in the same way, they're able to bond with each other regardless of any other commonalities.
Yeah.
Right? But, of course, the problem with wound theory being that once you heal that gash, then there's nothing to bond the group together anymore, and it just...
It falls apart.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Well, that's why you have to find other common grounds and build relationships beyond the simple, you know, act of being discriminated against.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's maybe what we're seeing with certain parts of the LGBT population is that as they're discriminated against less, they are less willing to be activists because...
Well, I guess I feel like we have a very LGBT community because we know lesbians and we know, you know, cisgendered lesbians, I should say.
Yeah.
And gay men.
But, you know, we're also meeting people.
Trans men and we know, you know, someone who, you know, cross-dresses.
Right. But we're meeting people in the community who have similar interests and likes to our own, and they're like-minded individuals. They're more active about, you know, educating and being activists and getting, like, the word out there.
I kind of see that as, like, people who are just drawn to those who are like-minded,
mm-hmm.
exactly like themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of isolated communities, like, you know, like, I'm a lesbian. I'm only going to hang around lesbians.
Yeah.
Or I'm a gay man. I'm only going to hang around gay males.
Well, isn't it kind
of... Rather than finding, you know...
Right. It's kind of weird, though, that...
Enjoying, like, those kind of differences of community. So, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
We have a lot of friends that are from diverse groups, LGBT, you know, and of different ethnicities and, you know, just a very diverse group of friends that we talk to on a regular basis. And I'll bring this up in conversation, and somebody will say, well, this particular community doesn't respect us, or that particular community doesn't respect us. And I'll say, but I know people from that community, and they're just fine. And it's very weird, because I constantly hear these stories of, oh, well, you just don't know, you know, the rest of the community. You know, it's as if this small subsection that we're seeing is somehow not representative of the rest of the community. Or maybe it is that the communities are changing, and old lingering things are still around. And maybe as the communities change, some people who were in these communities prior to, you know, that still have those bigoted ideas are kind of lingering in the communities, and maybe will slowly be phased out as there's more education and more interaction.
Right.
Or maybe we're seeing a new group of prejudiced forming, you know, which is the other possibility that the change...
I've often heard that diverse communities tend to have more longevity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The people who seek out a diverse friends and stuff like that tend to have those friendships and those bonds last longer.
I think that when you make friendships with people who are different from you,
yeah,
you can learn a lot more and be exposed to new things. And, you know, I think that sometimes when you just surround yourself with like-minded people...
That's why I hang out with Albanian sheep merchants, too.
I know.
Because that's very different from my experience.
I've learned so much about shearing sheep and making my own woolen thread using just, you know, hand tools.
But I would hang out with Albanian sheep merchants.
Yeah.
I totally would.
That would be cool.
If I knew more of them.
Albanian sheep merchants, you heard that. You heard it right here on Transponder. If you want to be friends with Jaina, just leave us a voicemail.
I don't know if there are Albanian sheep merchants.
320-323-1896.
I admit, my knowledge of Albania is low.
Hey,
but I could find it on a map.
If there aren't Albanian sheep merchants, there should be.
Right. If there's not, I think there's something wrong with Albania today.
What is the state of Albanian sheep merchants today? Next week on Transponder.
Good night.
Good night.
Hi, my name's Tiffany, and I'm new to the community. But I really like your podcast, Transponder, Transgender Life in the Trenches. I heard that a bunch of other fans were writing songs about you guys, and I thought I'd come along and do the same. So, you'll notice this isn't played with real instruments, and that's because it's hard to play guitar with nails. I mean, I'm sure you girls know, right? Okay, here we go. Highly original, stealing hearts like a criminal, super sexy, human sexuals. They're really smart and strong, they've got an audio blog. Thank God this theme song isn't that long. There's Jaina, and Mila, and Jaina, and Mila, and Jaina, and Mila, and Jaina. I hope you guys like that.
This program is a member of the TransFM Internet Broadcast Network. TransFM.org.
for listening to Transponder.
You can find us on the web at www.trans-ponder.com.
Leave us a voicemail at 320-323-1896. Brick Sandwiches.
Join the Yahoo group and get in on the discussion.
Or send us an email.
We are not lawyers, so no part of this show should be considered legal advice.
We are not doctors, so please consult yours before considering any medical procedure.
The opinions stated on Transponder are not necessarily that of our sponsors, broadcast partners, or other organizations.
Our opinions are just that, opinions.
Music is graciously provided by the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com.
Thanks for listening.
And good night.